Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we are tackling something something a lot of you have probably thought about. It's about setting your kids up for financial success.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We're all thinking about this. And we're going to be diving into a book today by Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Rich Kid, Smart Kid. Now, you probably know Robert Kiyosaki from his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, classic.
This book is kind of in the same vein. He's really focusing in on how to give kids a good financial start.
A financial head start. Yeah. And I think what's so interesting about this book is that it goes way beyond just the typical, like, save your allowance, get good grades advice. It really digs into some deeper principles about financial intelligence.
Yeah. And about how the world is changing.
Exactly. Right. The world is changing so rapidly. And the advice that we got as kids might not be relevant anymore. He actually talks about how 20-year-olds are running these huge information age companies.
Okay, I know, it's crazy.
And they're buying out these big industrial age corporations run by people twice their age.
It's wild.
I mean, think about like AOL buying Time Warner back in the day. That's a perfect example of what he's talking about.
It really is. And he also points to the rise in popularity of like alternative education.
Yeah. Homeschooling, private schools, Montessori programs.
All these things. It's
a whole landscape is shifting.
Really changing. Yeah.
And so.
And for parents.
That's got to be overwhelming.
I think it is overwhelming. You know, it's like, how do I prepare my child for a future that's so uncertain? But what I love about Kiyosaki's approach is that he provides this really interesting perspective. He says, look, the key is to focus on developing your child's financial intelligence. He even goes so far as to define intelligence as the ability to make finer distinctions. So it's not just about, you know, being book smart or getting good grades.
Yeah.
It's about being able to really understand the nuances of the world.
Yeah, it's about thinking differently.
Exactly.
About money and how it works. And he argues that traditional education often focuses on just one type of intelligence, right?
Right.
The kind that you measure with an IQ test. But, you know, in reality, there are multiple intelligences.
Yeah, and he lists
seven.
Seven of them, right?
Seven. He talks about linguistic intelligence, logical, mathematical,
spatial,
kinesthetic, musical, interpersonal.
Interpersonal.
He says each of these intelligences has its own strengths.
Right.
And potential career paths. And that really resonated with me because it's like, we're not all cut from the same cloth. Our kids aren't all cut from the same cloth.
Right. And the things that we think are important maybe aren't as important as we think they are.
And maybe there are other things that we're overlooking that could actually be.
Yeah, like these
hidden talents and skills.
Exactly. Let's take, for instance, someone who's really strong in spatial intelligence.
Okay.
They might excel in fields like architecture or design.
Yeah.
But that same spatial intelligence could also make them a fantastic investor in real estate.
Oh, interesting.
Because they can visualize potential.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They can see the big picture. They understand how properties relate to their surroundings. So it's about helping your child understand their unique strengths and then finding ways to apply those strengths in the world of money.
Okay, so how can we help our kids figure out what their genius is? I mean,
that's the million-dollar question, right? I think it starts with observation.
Okay.
Paying attention to what your child naturally gravitates towards. What are they curious about?
Well,
what do they love to do? Do they love to build things? Are they drawn to music? Mm-hmm. Do they have a knack for understanding people? These are all clues. And then it's about creating opportunities for them to explore those interests further.
Yeah.
Whether it's through extracurricular activities, books, conversations around the dinner table,
right,
exposing them to different things.
So instead of kind of pushing them down this one path that we think is going to lead to success,
right,
we're helping them kind of uncover their own unique path. Exactly. You're helping them discover their financial superpowers.
I love that. Their financial superpowers.
Okay. So we've talked about kind of this idea of, you know, the world is changing. We need to think differently about intelligence and success. And
another big piece of this is letting go of outdated winning formulas. He has this hilarious example in the book about Al Bundy from Married with Children.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You know, the guy peaked in high school as a football star.
I know. He just can't let it go.
He's still clinging to that glory days mentality, even though it's not serving him well.
Right.
In his adult life.
It's so funny, but it's so true.
But it makes you think, right? We all have these ideas about what success looks like.
Right.
And often they're based on our own experiences, what we were taught growing up.
Totally. Yeah.
But the world is changing so fast.
Yeah. And what worked for us
might not work.
Might not work for our kids.
For our kids.
Yeah.
And so we need to be open to new possibilities and encourage our kids to do the same. Okay. So it's about being adaptable. It's about
adaptability.
Being willing to change. And I think that applies to our own finances too, right?
Right.
Like we might have a budgeting system.
Absolutely.
That worked great for years.
Yeah.
But it's not working anymore.
It's not keeping up with your current needs or expenses.
Right.
So we have to be willing to adjust.
Yeah.
And find new solutions. And
I think a lot of people are resistant to that.
I think so too.
You know, it's like, this is what I know. This is how we do it. And I don't want to
change.
Yeah. Change is hard.
It is hard, but it's necessary.
It is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we've got to let go of these old ideas of what success looks like and what worked in the past and be willing to adapt and be flexible.
Be flexible. Be open to new ideas.
Okay. Okay.
And this actually ties into another really practical piece of advice that Kiyosaki gives.
Okay.
He says one of the simplest but most powerful things we can do is change our language.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to money.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
He suggests replacing the phrase, I can't afford it,
oh, yeah,
with how can I afford it?
That's good.
Because he argues that this subtle shift can have a profound impact on a child's mindset.
So instead of focusing on the limitations, you're focusing on the possibilities.
And the possibilities on solutions.
Yeah. So like if your kid comes to you and says, hey, I want this new video game or whatever it is.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, we can't afford that right now, you say, well, how can we afford that?
Exactly. How can we make this happen?
I love that. Yeah, you're not shutting them down.
Right. You're not saying no.
You're opening up a conversation.
You're inviting them to be part of the solution.
I like it.
And that's huge.
It is huge. Oh. Okay, so we've got to change our language.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to think differently about intelligence.
Yep.
We've got to be adaptable.
Be willing to let go of those old winning formulas.
Okay, what else? What else does he talk about?
Well, he's a big proponent of using games to teach financial literacy. Yeah, it's a brilliant approach, right?
I think so.
He actually created this board game called Cash Flow.
Okay.
Which is designed to help both kids and adults learn about investing, cash flow, building wealth.
Cool.
And it does it in a really fun and engaging way.
That's great because I think a lot of people are intimidated by finances and investing.
Absolutely.
It can feel really overwhelming.
And boring.
Yeah.
And so he makes it fun.
Yeah.
It becomes a game, a challenge to be conquered.
Yeah. And he talks about how kids learn best through play.
Exactly.
So this just makes sense.
It does.
To make it fun and engaging. And then he takes it a step further with his three piggy bank system.
Oh, yeah. The three piggy banks. Such a simple but effective way to introduce kids to basic financial concepts.
Okay. So tell me about this.
So he recommends having separate piggy banks for charity. Okay. Savings and investing.
Oh, I like this.
The charity bank teaches them about giving back to the community.
Right.
The savings bank helps them develop the habit of setting money aside for future goals. And the investing bank allows them to experience the magic of compounding.
Oh, that's so cool.
And watch their money grow over time.
So they can kind of get that experience.
They get that early experience.
Yeah, without
the real money.
Yeah, without risking too much.
Exactly.
I love this.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this is a really well-rounded approach.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's not just about saving money. It's about
understanding the different ways that money can work for you.
And it's about giving back.
And it's about developing those good habits early on.
Yeah. I like it.
I like
okay. So we've talked about a lot of stuff here. We've talked about the changing world,
mm-hmm.
the importance of financial intelligence.
Bankable intelligence.
Letting go of these outdated winning formulas.
Right.
The power of language.
Yeah.
Using games and piggy banks to make learning about money fun.
It's all about making it fun and engaging.
Yeah. And really kind of setting our kids up for success in a world that's very different.
Absolutely. A world that's constantly changing.
Than the one we grew up in.
Yeah. We've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
Hopefully you're starting to see how these ideas can be applied in your own family's financial journey.
Yeah. And we're just getting started.
It's just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
There's so much more to dive into.
In part two, we'll delve even deeper into Kiyosaki's insights and explore some really practical strategies for helping your child discover and nurture their financial genius. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break.
Welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about shifting our language around money. You know, instead of saying, I can't afford it.
Right.
We can empower our kids to ask, how can I afford it?
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about that and I catch myself saying, I can't afford it all the time.
Right.
And I'm an adult.
Right, exactly.
So, it's like we just automatically shut down possibilities before we even consider them.
It's ingrained in us.
Yeah. And so if we can help our kids think differently about that,
Think about it as a challenge, an opportunity.
Like, how can I make this happen?
Exactly. And Kiyosaki gives a great example in the book about his friend's son, who wanted to buy a new set of golf clubs. And instead of just handing him the money, the dad said, "Okay, that's great. Figure out how to earn the money."
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Make him work for it.
Yeah,
Let,
exactly.
yeah.
So what did the kid do?
So the kid, he was observant. He noticed that there weren't any candy vending
Oh,
machines
that's smart.
at the local golf course.
Okay.
So he goes to the golf pro and he makes this deal to install a couple of vending machines.
Wow, what a hustler.
I know. He used his savings to buy the machines, restocked them himself, and within a few months,
Yeah.
he had enough money for his golf clubs.
That is fantastic.
Plus, he had this business going. Talk about a win-win.
Yeah, passive income.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love that story.
It's so good.
Yeah. And it's teaching him so much more than,
It's so much more.
just handing him the cash.
It's teaching him about problem solving. It's teaching him about entrepreneurship. Yeah, teaching him financial responsibility and.
And I think it's also teaching him about financial discipline, which is something
Yeah.
Kiyosaki really emphasizes in the book. He talks about these monthly financial meetings he had with his rich dad,
Oh, wow.
where he had to report on his income, his expenses, his assets, his
Oh,
liabilities.
wow. So he was learning from a young age to track his money and to really be responsible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had that accountability built in from a young age.
Yeah, I think that's something that we often kind of shield our kids from.
I think so too.
It's like we don't want to brazen them with the realities of money management.
We want to protect them.
But maybe we should be giving them more opportunities to practice those skills.
In a safe environment.
Yeah, in a safe and supportive environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it ties into another important point that he makes, which is being able to distinguish between good and bad financial decisions.
Okay, good debt and bad debt.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard that before, but.
He talks about good debt being things like using a loan to invest in something that will create income,
Okay, yeah.
like rental property or starting a business. Bad debt, racking up credit card bills
Right.
for stuff you don't
For
need.
stuff you don't need,
You
yeah.
can't really afford. Same with savings. Building an emergency fund, that's good saving. But just hoarding money in a low interest account when it could be working harder for you through investments,
Right.
that's not so good.
Okay, so it's about being strategic.
Strategic, yeah. It's
Yeah.
about making your money work for you.
Yeah. Smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of another thing that he talked about, which was education and experience as assets.
Yes.
And I really like that part of the book.
He's a huge believer in education, not just in the traditional sense, but
Yeah.
just constantly expanding your
Yeah,
horizons.
learning new things,
It deep.
developing your skills.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then experience, especially when it comes to managing money, like getting your hands dirty.
He tells this story about a friend who had $250,000 in savings. Wow.
Okay.
But she was terrified to invest it
Oh, wow. I can see why.
because she lacked the
The
experience
confidence, yeah.
and the confidence. Yeah.
It's amazing how fear can hold us back, even when we have, all the resources made on the
Absolutely.
property.
And so Kiyosaki, he encourages us to embrace calculated risks,
Okay.
to learn from our mistakes, and to really develop our financial skills through real-world experience.
Yeah, get out there and do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I really love the part where he talks about service
Yes.
and, giving back.
That was a really powerful part of the book.
Yeah, it really resonated with me too.
It did for me as well. He talks about his own mother who was so involved in volunteer work
Yeah.
and even joined the Peace Corps.
Yeah. It was a beautiful reminder
It is.
that, wealth isn't just about money.
It's about making a positive impact on the world.
Yeah, and using your resources to help others and to make a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking about this idea of, our kids being different and, having different strengths. And that kind of leads into his discussion of different learning styles.
Yes.
And you talk about how, the traditional education system.
It often favors just one type of learner.
Yeah, the kid who can sit still.
The one who's good at memorizing facts and figures.
Yeah, and taking tests.
Exactly. But in reality, there are so many different ways
yeah.
to learn and process information.
Like, how do you learn best?
Yeah, exactly. He talks about kinesthetic learners, visual learners, auditory learners. He even mentions this assessment tool called the Kolbe Index,
yeah.
which identifies a person's instinctive way of taking action.
Interesting. So how can parents use this information, you know, to help their kids learn about money?
Yeah. Well, I think it starts with recognizing that your child might not learn about money in the same way you do.
Right.
So some kids, they might thrive with hands-on activities.
Yeah.
Maybe they can help you with the budgeting or grocery shopping.
Yeah. Others might be drawn to visual aids like charts and graphs
right.
that track their savings or investments. Some might learn best through storytelling.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Like the examples that Kiyosaki shares in the book.
Yeah.
So it's really about adapting your approach.
Yeah.
to your child's unique learning style.
So it's about meeting them where they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And I think that applies to adults too, right? I mean, we all have different learning styles.
Absolutely. Think about how you approach learning new things.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to read, listen to podcasts, watch videos? Do you like to dive right in and have a hands-on experience?
Yeah, I'm definitely a hands-on learner.
Me too. And when it comes to finances, understanding your own learning style can be so helpful.
Yeah, how so?
Because it can help you find resources and strategies that really resonate with you.
Okay.
Whether it's finding a financial advisor who communicates in a way you understand.
Okay.
Choosing investments that align with your risk tolerance.
Or just finding ways to make budgeting and money management more enjoyable.
Right. Make it fun. Take the stress out of it.
Exactly. So it's really about taking control of your finances in a way that feels empowering and authentic to you.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Oh.
Okay. So we've been talking about learning styles, how adults can benefit from this, how kids can benefit from this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kiyosaki also talks about how kids might have, you know, specific geniuses that can guide their financial success.
Right. Remember those seven intelligences we talked about earlier? Each one has its own set of strengths and potential career paths that can lead to financial success. So, for example, a child with a strong linguistic intelligence might excel in writing or communication.
Okay.
But those same skills could make them a fantastic salesperson or marketer.
Right.
And that could lead to financial success in those fields.
It's not just about aligning their genius with a specific career. It's right. about using their strengths.
It's about recognizing those innate abilities and finding ways to nurture them.
Yeah.
And leverage them in all aspects of their life.
In all aspects of their life.
Including their finances.
I like that. Yeah.
And Kiyosaki stresses that this isn't about trying to fit every child into the same mold.
Right.
Or pushing them towards a particular career path.
Yeah. It's about letting them find their own way.
It's about recognizing their individuality, encouraging them to explore different possibilities,
yeah,
take risks, and find their own unique path to success and fulfillment.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, one thing that he really drives home in the book is that the nature of work is changing.
Yes.
And, you know, we can't just rely on
a secure job.
A secure job, yeah, to provide financial security anymore.
Right.
You know, technology is disrupting everything.
Disrupting industries left and right.
Yeah. And a lot of jobs are, you know, becoming obsolete.
He's not sugarcoating it.
He's not. And this can be kind of scary, you know.
For a lot of people, yeah.
For a lot of people, yeah.
But I think there's also a sense of optimism in his message.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's like, hey, the world's changing, so we need to adapt. We need to evolve. And he emphasizes the importance of, you know, being adaptable.
Right.
Developing skills that are in high demand.
Yeah.
And embracing an entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah. So it's not just about, you know, learning for a specific job.
Right.
It's about developing skills that you can use in any job.
Exactly. Transferable skills.
Yeah.
That you can apply across different industries and roles.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we really need to be teaching our kids.
Absolutely. You know,
because the jobs that they're going to be doing
might not even exist yet.
Might not even exist yet. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shift from this job-centric mindset
to a skill-centric mindset.
Like that, a skill-centric mindset. Okay.
So instead of saying I want to be a doctor,
yeah,
it's like I'm passionate about helping people, I'm good at problem solving, I'm good at communication. How can I use those skills to create value in a world that's constantly evolving?
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so we've got to be adaptable, we've got to be, you know, have this skill-centric mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be willing to let go of these old winning formulas that might not be working anymore.
Right. Because what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow.
Yeah. He tells a story about a classmate.
Oh, yeah.
Who was really successful in real estate.
Until
the market crash.
He lost everything.
Yeah. So, you know.
It's a reminder that we need to be constantly evaluating our strategies.
Yeah.
Adapting to change.
Yeah. Be open to new ideas and new approaches.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about teaching our kids what to think.
It's about teaching them how to think.
Yes. I love that. It's how to think critically.
How to adapt to change. Yeah.
Yeah.
And embrace lifelong learning.
I love it. Okay. So
that's really what Rich Kid Smart Kid is all about.
Yeah.
Equipping our kids with the knowledge, skills, and mindset to navigate this complex world of money and achieve their financial dreams.
It's about empowering them to be financially intelligent,
responsible, and ultimately free to pursue their passions and live fulfilling lives.
I love that. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here in part two.
We have.
For a deep dive into Rich Kid Smart Kid.
A lot of great insights from Kiyosaki.
We'll be right back to wrap things up. Welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, how important it is for our kids to be adaptable and to be lifelong learners.
Yeah. You know, Kiyosaki really emphasizes that in the book.
Yeah.
That the old ways of thinking about money and careers just aren't going to cut it in the future.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things he talks about is, you know, understanding how banks work, not just, you know, for managing our own money, but also like spotting potential investment opportunities.
Yeah.
He even suggests taking kids on like a financial field trip to a bank.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple, but it's such a great way to like demystify the world of finance, you know? Like imagine taking your kid to a bank and having them actually talk to a loan officer or a teller. It just brings those concepts to life in a way that a textbook never could.
Yeah, it makes it real. You know? He even says to have them ask about interest rates.
Yes.
And how banks make money. I mean, I never would have thought to do that when my kids were younger, but
it's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. It just normalizes talking about money and makes those institutions less intimidating.
Right. Right.
And you can have, you know, as they get older, you can build on that foundation and have more in-depth conversations about investing, debt, all those more complex concepts.
So it's just about kind of giving them that.
That behind the scenes look.
Yeah. Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, and this might seem like a little advanced for younger children, but, you know, Kiyosaki believes it's never too early to start exposing them to these concepts.
Yeah, I agree. I think even young children can understand basic financial principles.
Right. I mean, they understand sharing. They understand saving, spending.
Yeah. They have allowances.
They do.
You know, so it's like you can introduce concepts like interest and investing.
Right.
In an age appropriate way.
Yeah. And build on that as they get older.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, one of the concepts that he talks about that really caught my attention is this idea of velocity of money.
Oh, yeah, the velocity of money. It's so fascinating.
I know.
It's not just about how much money you have. It's about how quickly it moves.
Yes. And how efficiently it's working for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He uses this analogy of a river.
Oh, yeah. I love that analogy.
Yeah. A slow-moving river might hold a lot of water.
Yeah.
But it doesn't generate much power, right?
Right.
But a fast-moving river, even if it's smaller, it can generate a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's about the flow.
It's about the flow.
Yeah.
And he applies that same principle to money.
Yeah, so money that's just sitting in the savings account.
It's stagnant.
It's not doing much for you.
It's not really working for you.
Yeah, but money that's actively invested.
Invested and generating returns.
Yeah, and moving.
Yeah.
Is working hard to build your wealth.
It's a fast-moving river.
It is, yeah. Okay, so this is where his emphasis on investing comes in.
Yes. He's a huge advocate for teaching kids about investing from a young age.
And it doesn't have to be complicated, right?
Yeah, not at all.
Like, they could start with small amounts of money.
Yeah, just to get them comfortable with the process.
Yeah, invest in a few shares of stock or, you know.
Maybe contribute to a family investment account.
Yeah.
The key is to just get them involved.
Yeah.
And help them understand that investing is a long-term game.
It's not about getting rich quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about building wealth gradually over time.
Right. And as their knowledge grows.
You can introduce them to more complex strategies.
Yeah. It's a journey.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot of different things here today.
We have. We've covered a lot of ground.
And, you know, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me from this book is that you don't have to be a financial expert.
No, you don't.
To teach your kids about money.
The most important thing is to start the conversation.
Yeah. And to create that positive and open environment.
Yeah, be open and honest.
Yeah, and be willing to learn alongside your children.
And to make it fun.
Yeah. Don't make it a scary thing,
All
you
right.
know.
That's
One thing that he talks about that I really liked is this idea of being able to see the world from multiple
Oh,
perspectives.
yeah, mental flexibility.
Mental flexibility, yeah.
Being able to shift your viewpoint, consider different angles.
Yeah, be open to new ideas.
And I think that's so crucial, especially when it comes to finances.
Yeah, because the world is changing so fast.
It is. We need to be able to adapt our thinking.
Yeah, so how can we encourage this mental flexibility in our kids?
I think it starts with encouraging curiosity,
Okay.
asking open-ended questions
Yeah.
instead of just giving them the answers.
Yeah.
Encourage them to think for themselves, explore different possibilities,
Yeah.
come to their own
And
conclusions.
allow them to make mistakes.
Yes, mistakes are inevitable.
They are.
They're valuable opportunities for growth and learning.
Yeah, so instead of, you know, punishing them for making a mistake,
Right.
we use it as a teachable moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, how could we have done this differently? What can we learn from this?
It's about creating a safe environment where they feel comfortable taking risks,
Yeah.
experimenting, learning from those experiences.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that about wraps up our deep dive into Rich Kid, Smart Kid.
I think so too.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have so many great insights.
Hopefully, you've gleaned some valuable insights from this conversation.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, that you can use in your own family's financial journey.
And remember, it's never too early or too late
It's never too late.
to start teaching your kids about money.
Yeah, start the conversation.
Be open, be honest, and most importantly, have fun along the way.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the deep dive.